Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we begin our prayer with that act of faith. I firmly believe that you are here, that you are with me, that I am never alone, no matter where I may be. You are with me. And we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. This brief pause in your presence to talk with you, to listen to you. And we ask the assistance of the Holy Spirit. Allow me to listen to what God is telling me, that I may be docile like the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we ask the help of Our Lady and of Saint Joseph, that master of the interior life, and of our guardian angel. My guardian angel, intercede for me. And we can ask, how much devotion do I have to my guardian angel? We all have an angel looking after us. God says in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, to the Jewish people, and he can say these words directly and personally to each one of us, "Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place which I have prepared." I send an angel before you, before each one of you, to guard you as a guardian angel, to bring you to the place which I have prepared, heaven, eternal life. We need the protection of that angel. And God goes on, "Give heed to him and listen to his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him." Give heed to his voice. And so often we will hear in our conscience, in that silence, our guardian angel, or we could say the Holy Spirit or God himself, whispering to us, "Do this, don't do that." And Lord, that we listen to your words, give heed to him and listen to his voice, because as you say, "My name is in him." The angel speaks on your behalf. And that passage from Exodus 23 goes on, "But if you listen attentively to his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries." Lord, you will be with us if we do listen attentively to the voice of our guardian angel. Help us to have more devotion to this powerful being that you have put beside each one of us. And you say too in the Gospel of St. Matthew, in the 18th chapter, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven." Their angels. Each one of those children has an angel. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church reminds us of that reality. It says in point 336, from its beginning until death, human life is surrounded by their watchful care and intercession. Beside each believer stands an angel as protector and shepherd, leading him to life. Already here on earth, the Christian life shares by faith in the blessed company of angels and men united in God. We all have a guardian angel. And Saint Jerome, commenting on that passage of Matthew 18, says, "How great is the value of the soul that every single person has from birth received an angel for his protection." Every single person, an angel. And again, we ask, Lord, remind us, help us to have devotion to this angel that you have given us, that angel that we don't see, but we know is always with us. And Pope St. John the 23rd says, "Our desire is that devotion to the guardian angels should increase. Each person has his own, and he can converse with the angels of his fellow men." That devotion to the guardian angels should increase. And perhaps we can ask ourselves, when is the last time that someone spoke about guardian angels? How often do I think of my angel? What do I do to remind others, especially my children, my friends, of this powerful being that we all have, so that we can help increase devotion to the guardian angels? Saint Bernard, commenting on that passage from the book of Exodus, says, "He has commanded his angels to safeguard you on your way." These words ought to inspire you to have great reverence, ought to fill you with great devotion, and give you great confidence. Reverence for the presence of the angels, devotion for their benevolence, confidence for their guardianship. Because they are present close to you, and they are there for your good. They are present to protect you and for your benefit. And even though they are there because God has given them this order, we should not for that reason fail to be appreciative, since they fulfill this order with so much love and help us in our needs, which are so great. And how many times has our angel done something for us? Sometimes in an obvious way, and other times in ways that we have no idea of. What does our angel do for us? Sometimes those simple little things, reminding us to take something or to do something, something we had forgotten about, and now suddenly this idea, don't forget to take this. Don't forget to ring your friend. Don't forget to do that thing. And we realize it's an angel reminding us to do that. Perhaps we have lost something. Where have I left this book, these keys? And then we look and we pray to our guardian angel and we find it. To find a parking space. So often we desperately need to find a place near to the place where we are going. We pray to the guardian angel, and then that place suddenly opens up for us just as we are arriving. Perhaps to wake us up. Our alarm didn't go off, but we woke up anyway. Our guardian angel was doing that for us. Praying to the guardian angel to get us to the place on time. that the lights turn green so that we won't arrive late, and the lights do turn green, to arrive safely. Saint Jose Maria gave us that beautiful blessing for a trip, which invokes the angels. Through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, may you have a safe journey. May our Lord be with you on your way, and may his holy angels accompany you to bring us safely to our destination. Years ago, after an evening of recollection given by a priest of Opus Dei in Manchester, one of the meditations had been on devotion to the guardian angels, and a young woman had commented that this was too much. Nobody believed in angels anymore. On her way home, she was walking through a park, and she saw a man standing under a light with an unsavory look about him. After doubting whether to proceed past him or go by a different route, which would have been much longer, she decided to pass by him. He looked at her, she looked at him, but to her relief, he didn't do anything. The following day, she read in the newspaper that a girl had been murdered in that same park that night, and they had a photograph of the presumed offender, and she recognized the face. So she went to the police to say that she too had been walking through that park and had seen the man. She was able to speak with the man, and she asked him, "Why didn't you attack me?" And his answer, "When you had those two men with you?" She didn't have anyone with her. Our angels are there to help us, and sometimes they may appear in the form of human beings. Saint Jose Maria had an incident in the early 1930s during a time of great anti-clericalism in Spain, when a number of men approached him to abuse him, and someone else came up and dismissed those men and then said to Saint Jose Maria, "You mangy donkey," an expression that he had used for himself and that no one else knew except his spiritual director. And he realized this man that protected him was his guardian angel. Another incident that I read about some time ago, Sister Barnabas, driving along a main interstate highway in the United States with an elderly gentleman in the car, when she had a blowout, she managed to drive the car safely to the side of the road and then take out the jack, take the hubcap off the wheel, but she had no idea how to change the tire, nor did the elderly gentleman. And just then, a van pulled up, a man in overalls got out, and quickly began to change the tire for her. Sister Barnabas said out loud, "What would they have done had he not arrived?" And the young man looked at her and said, "Sister, you of all people should know that you're never alone." And then he went back to finishing that job of rechanging the tire. When he finished, Sister Barnabas wanted to pay him. He refused any payment. And then she said, "Well, at least tell me your name." And he said, "My name is Barnabas." And with that, he got into his van and drove off. And then Sister Barnabas said to the elderly gentleman, "Do you believe in guardian angels?" And he said, "I do now." Angels are with us. They are there to protect us. Another example, and this is a well-known incident that goes back to the Korean War in the early 1950s, and told by an American Marine. And even though it sounds extraordinary, The testimony was verified by the sergeant in charge of that Marines patrol and by his spiritual director. And he wrote this in a letter to his mother. His name was Michael, and his mother had taught him when he was young to say a prayer to Saint Michael every day. It wasn't the usual prayer that we all know, but another one which began, "Michael, Michael of the morning, fresh core of heaven adorning." Now he's in Korea and in the middle of the winter in a campaign. And they're walking along, and suddenly this new Marine is walking beside him. He was at least 6 feet 4 inches tall and very strongly built. And our Michael had never seen him before. And Michael commented, "It's cold, isn't it?" And the other one laughed softly. And then he said to the new Marine, "I've never seen you before. I thought I knew every man in the outfit." And the other one said, "I just joined at the last minute. The name's Michael." "Is that so?" This other one says, "That's my name too." "I know," the new one says. And then he began to say that prayer to Saint Michael. "Michael, Michael of the morning prayer." And the first Michael couldn't believe it. How did he know my name? How did he know that prayer? And then they're walking along, and the snow begins to come down very heavily. And the new Michael says, "Don't worry, it will stop shortly." And he was right. Shortly, the snow stopped altogether. But by this stage, they were separated from the rest of the unit. And then the new Michael commented to trouble ahead. And as they came over a little rise, they saw 7 North Korean soldiers with their guns drawn. And quickly, the first Michael says, "Down, Michael." He screams and he falls to the earth. But the other Michael, the big one, was still standing. And this is what this man relates in his letter to his mother. "Mom, those guys couldn't have missed, not at that range. I expected to see him literally blown to bits, but there he stood, making no effort to fire himself. He was paralyzed with fear. It happens sometimes, Mom, even to the bravest. He was like a bird fascinated by a snake. At least that was what I thought then. I jumped up to pull him down, and that was when I got mine. I felt a sudden flame in my chest. I often wondered what it felt like to be hit. Now I know. I remember feeling strong arms about me, arms that laid me ever so gently on a pillow of snow. I opened my eyes for one last look. I thought I was dying. Maybe I was even dead. I remember thinking, well, this is not so bad. Maybe I was looking into the sun. Maybe I was in shock, but it seemed I saw Michael standing erect again, only this time his face was shining with a terrible splendor. As I say, maybe it was the sun in my eyes, but he seemed to change as I watched him. He grew bigger, his arms stretched wide. Maybe it was the snow falling again, but there was a brightness around him like the wings of an angel. In his hand was a sword that flashed with a million lights. Well, that's the last thing I remember, until the rest of the fellows came up and found me. I don't know how much time passed. Now and then I had but a moment's rest from the pain and fever. I remember telling them of the enemy just ahead. Where's Michael? I asked. I saw them look at one another. Where's who? Asked one. Michael, Michael, the big Marine I was walking with just before the snow squall hit us. Kid, said the sergeant, you weren't walking with anyone. I had my eyes on you all the time. You were getting too far out. I was just going to call you in when you disappeared in the snow. He looked at me curiously. How did you do it, kid? He said. How'd I do what? I asked, half angry, despite my wound. This Marine named Michael and I were just... Son, said the sergeant kindly, I picked this outfit myself, and there ain't another Michael in it. You are the only Mike in it. He paused for a minute. Just how did you do it, kid? We heard shots, but there hasn't been a shot fired from your rifle. And there isn't a bit of lead in them seven bodies over the hill there. I didn't say anything. What could I say? I could only look with amazement. It was then that the sergeant spoke again. Kid, he said gently, every one of those seven commies was killed with a sword stroke. What do we make of this? Lord, you have given us an angel to protect us. And sometimes, as in the case with Michael, it requires an extraordinary event. But you can do this. The scriptures relate events like this. And we open the Acts of the Apostles to the 12th chapter and that familiar passage. St. Peter has been put in prison. Herod is guarding him very carefully with several guards of soldiers, and he is in chains in a prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands, and the angel said to him, dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and immediately the angel left him. And Peter came to himself and said, now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. And then he goes and he knocks on the house of Mark. The maidservant Rhoda comes to the door, recognizing Peter's voice. She didn't even open the gate, but ran back to tell the others that it was Peter at the gate. And they said to her, you're mad. But she insisted that it was so. They said, it is his angel. Lord, those people believed in angels. If it wasn't Peter, because he was in prison, it had to be his angel. And St. Jose Maria comments in the way, in the chapter on devotions, in point 570, drink at the clear fountain of the Acts of the Apostles. In the 12th chapter, Peter, freed from prison by the ministry of angels, comes to the house of the mother of Mark. Those inside will not believe the girl who says that Peter is at the door. Angelus eius est. It must be his angel, they said. See on what intimate terms the early Christians were with their guardian angels. And you? And Lord, help us to be on intimate terms too with our guardian angel. How can we grow in this devotion? Perhaps we can say that prayer to the guardian angel every morning, or perhaps every night. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love entrusts me here, ever this day be at my side to light and guard, to rule and guide, to grow in awareness of our angel by saying that prayer. And then perhaps when we go on a trip, even going for a walk, we invoke our guardian angel to protect us. When we're speaking with another person and perhaps we would like to convince them to go to confession, to go back to Mass, to change their life, to attend a talk or an evening of recollection, we can invoke our guardian angel and their guardian angel, help me to get through, that this person realizes how important it is to come back to God. And then that person is outnumbered. Our angel, their angel, ourself against them. And so often by invoking the angels, we will say something more appropriate and they will hear what God wanted them to hear. And when we go into a church or a chapel, we can invoke the angels that are there worshiping God. We can be sure there are always angels before the tabernacle. When we pray, we can invoke our angel to help us pray well. And we have begun our prayer, as we always do, with that introductory prayer which ends, "My guardian angel, intercede for me. Intercede for me in this time of meditation, in this spiritual reading that I am doing, in this Mass that I am attending. Keep me awake. Keep me attentive. Help me not to be so distracted." Or we invoke our angel when we want to wake up, when we want to find that parking spot or find those lost keys or whatever it may be. In moments of temptation, we are tempted, and the devil is real, and the devil is an angel too. But our guardian angel is more powerful. In those moments of temptation that we invoke our guardian angel, and St. Jose Maria writes in the Way, "If you call upon your guardian angel at the moment of trial, he will protect you from the devil and bring you holy inspirations." Or perhaps we have to go into a difficult environment where we know there will be temptations or people that might lead us astray. And before we go, we invoke our angel. And again, St. Jose Maria says in point 566 of the Way, "You say that in such surroundings there are many occasions of going astray. That's true. But is there not also the presence of the guardian angels?" Or we can invoke our angel when perhaps we're tempted to say something that we shouldn't say, to get angry, to lose our patience, and we can ask the angel, "Help me to control myself, to live always charity." And St. Jose Maria writes in point 564, "If you remembered the presence of your own angel and the angels of your neighbors, you would avoid many of the foolish things which slip into your conversations." Lord, we thank you for giving us an angel. Perhaps we ask pardon for neglecting the angel, not thinking of his presence and his care for us over our life. And we ask you, help us to grow in devotion to this powerful being that you have put beside us. And perhaps as we look back over our life, we can see a number of incidents where the angel was acting. Things happened in an unexplained way. And we say, of course, that was my angel assisting me. And we go to Our Lady, Queen of the Angels. Mary, by your very being, by your holiness, you are above even the angels in heaven. You are their queen. You know the angels. They are there giving glory to God, and they are with you too. Help us to be aware of our guardian angel. Help us to have devotion and gratitude to our guardian angel. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.